Amen. You know, people ask, sometimes they'll ask me, they say, do you believe that God heals? And I say, absolutely. And He heals 100% of the time. It may not always be on this earth. Right? But when that old trumpet calls, we pass away and go to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a new body. Brand new. Glorified body. So yes, God heals every single time. It may not be in our time, but in His time. If you're born again, amen, the believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, one day this old body will be given a heavenly body, perfect body. Amen. All right. Yes, Psalms 85:10. Psalm 85:10. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are the healer. Lord, You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And we do trust You, Father. You know what's best in our lives. Lord, we just pause for a minute and do pray for our missionaries around the world spreading the gospel, and some of them are in dangerous areas. And so we just pray for protection, that You'll place Your angels encamped about them to keep them safe. Pray for our military. They're also around the world and defending us and keeping us safe. We pray for each person, each family member of Pauline Baptist Church. Pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin list that have physical and emotional needs. And Lord, You know what each one of them need. So I pray You give them courage, wisdom, strength, healing. Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen? Amen. So like Gary said, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So I thought that I would share something about that. So let me tell you a quick story first, though. Quick story. This true story that happened last night. My mom called and she wanted to go to Ray's Mill Pond. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's been around for 58 years. Actually, they started on the day I was born. So it's funny, isn't it? So if you're not familiar with it, it's an old country fish fry place where guaranteed to increase your cholesterol and cause you more heart problems, right? But definitely. So my mom wanted to go, so it was one of her old classic places, and so I took her. And we got there early. I mean, I picked her up at 4 o'clock, you know. And so we got there when it opened at 4:30, and there was still like a million people there, you know, at that time. So we had to wait a little bit. So we were coming out after we ate. Let me tell you this first. I'm 58 years old. And I asked Lynn if I could say this. So she said, yeah. So Lynn is 62. Didn't I do good? God bless me, boy. Anyway, I don't want to get off track. So she's 62, I'm 58, right? So we're coming out of, What? Oh, whatever. So we're coming out of the restaurant, right? And we passed some people, and I passed this couple, you know, and I look at the lady, and she looks real familiar. I was like, you know, she looks familiar. And we're walking past her, and she says, Dallas. And I turn, and I recognize her face, you know. And it was a lady that I went to high school with, you know, same grade, and her name's Christy. And she goes, hey, I've been following you on Facebook and seeing all the things that you and your wife are doing. And Lynn's standing right there. And Lynn kind of was helping Mom get in the car. And she said this to me. She said, yeah, I don't remember your wife. Like we was in school. And so this is what she said. She said, I don't remember your wife. She must have been a lot younger than us. Damn, I let her have it too. I said, you know, I said something funny or whatever, I don't know. Wasn't that a great compliment, though, to Leah, though? She must have been a lot younger than this. Like, she was three or four years younger in class, you know, whatever. Yeah, I was a senior and got me one of them freshman girls, you know. Uh-oh, that's somebody hitting Chuck over there. It is Valentine's Day, right? So I wanted to score a few points, you know, with Lamb. But I thought that was pretty cool. It was a good little segue in the, you know, the message and everything. But So this morning we're going to talk about Bible kisses. Everybody good with that? We're going to talk about Bible kisses. Now, you know, there's many different types of kisses. Right, Adam? Many type of kisses. You don't want me to drag you into this, do you? It's too late. There's the kisses that you give your mother and your father. Right? There's kisses that you give your sister and your brother. There are kisses that you give your son or your daughter. These innocent kisses of love, right? And then there's kisses you give to your wife or your husband. Amen? A kiss is an expression of love and affection. And we all know that Hollywood has turned this into some kind of cheap act. So I don't want to go there. So I thought on this eve of Valentine's Day that we would look at kisses in the Bible. Now, what can we learn by studying Bible kisses? I definitely am putting this message together. I definitely have discovered and highlighted many things that we need to remember, that we need to keep these things right on our heart, these Bible scriptures. Now, I have 7 points. I'm going to fly through them. But if you're taking notes, here is the first point. Okay? The symbolic kiss of God's attributes. I'll say it again. The symbolic kiss of God's attributes. This brings us to Psalm 85:10. And the King James Version says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Now, this is a beautiful thing. So let me try to explain this in a few minutes. It says, consider how difficult it is to get truth and mercy together. Now, really think about this. Truth is on one hand and mercy is on the other. Truth is absolute holiness without error or hypocrisy. On one hand, mercy is the ability to overlook hypocrisy and error. I wish I had the cross back up here. Why don't you get that back up here one day? Is that cool? I know we had the Christmas stuff. I forgot about that. I was going to do that and use it as an example. The same can be said about righteousness and peace in this scripture. You see, sinful man, unbelievers, find righteousness really frustrating. And they cannot have any peace without righteousness. Okay? One's over here, one's over here. Okay? Yet this verse that we just read said they're the opposites, but they come together. They have kissed each other. How can this happen? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You see, only in Christ can it happen. Only in, y'all stay with me now, okay? Only in Christ can we have peace with God. John 1:17 says this. 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Law, grace. Y'all seeing where it's going here? It's forming this cross. Law, grace. Christ joined, everybody say joined. Christ joined God's holy righteousness and His overwhelming love. He joined them together. How can this happen? How can righteousness and mercy be at the same time? Romans 5:1 said this. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God. How? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Both sides of God's attributes were brought in harmony through the salvation of Christ brought on the cross. Over here, over here. It was, look, I'm kind of like a cross here, right? And it's putting it together. It's a beautiful thing. The peace that surpasses all understanding cannot happen without the kiss of the cross. Without Jesus being our mediator. It all comes together. Number two, the faithful kiss of salvation. Luke 7:37-38. Let me paint the picture with the scripture here. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, and then kissed them and poured perfume on them. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful thing. Simon, the Pharisee, got bent out of shape, got upset because this harlot did this. He considered this shameless display. And you know what? Jesus took this moment to try to teach them about forgiveness and humility. See, this sinner, this harlot, this, as they saw her, a dirty person, a bad person, took it upon herself to honor Jesus. Remember that word honor now. Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But she took it upon herself to honor Jesus. You see, when we receive salvation, things begin to change in our heart. If you've gotten saved and things hadn't changed in your heart, you need to really think about that, pray about that. But a heart begins to change. And pretty soon we have a desire to read God's Word or go to church or do all these different things that honor Him. To honor Christ with our life. There's 100 different things we could do to honor Him. Each of our attempts to honor God, to lift up His holy name, to be a good witness for Him, each of our attempts to honor God are like kisses to Him. He said our prayers are like sweet smoke, right? Remember that? How do you honor Jesus? How do we honor Jesus? Now, I remember when our boys started getting to that age, you know, where they didn't want us to come in and give mommy and daddy a kiss goodnight. Remember that? Teenagers start getting that age where, you know, I'm good, right? Especially boys, you know. I hope that we as children of God don't ever get to the point where we don't want to honor God. We might be embarrassed to be seen, you know, as one of them Christian people. Or I hope not. Have you kissed the Savior lately? Amen. Number three. The family kiss of the brethren. The family kiss of the brethren. Romans 16:16 says this. I know you knew I was going to go there, didn't you? Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. In several places, Paul encourages the believers to greet one another with a sacred or holy kiss. Now, we all pretty much understand that today, in today's times, that holy kiss really sort of means now a heartfelt handshake or a hug. Amen? But what really is behind Paul's encouragement to kiss one another? It's love. It's a sign of true affection. True love. And it blesses one another. We are blessed when we can show this holy affection for one another. There are a number of times in the scripture where God commands us to love one another. To love one another. This holy kiss was really a result of God-inspired love. I remember last week, I think it was last week, I shared with several folks that I really do miss hugging. You know what I'm talking about? Miss giving a hug. You know? It's a good firm handshake. One of them half manly hugs, you know? Or just hugging people. I think our society, not to get all into all that crazy mess right now, but I believe our society is going to suffer from a lack of being able to touch one another and hug each other. Who knows? Time will tell. But I look forward to hugs. Anybody else? I'm kind of done with this COVID thing. Paul said, no, you don't want a hug? Come on, Paul, give me a hug. You're not? We'll talk about that later. Even like our social norms, right, tell us that these days it wouldn't be a good idea to run around and start kissing people. I totally understand that. Got that, right? And but the command, maybe even demand, but the command of God is for us to love one another. Love one another. Amen? All right, so number four. Here we go. It's Valentine's Day message. Number four, the farewell kiss of separation. Acts 20:36-38. This is beautiful to me. I mean, this is one of those things where I paint the picture real quick. You know, Paul's leaving Ephesus, and you know, he's about to get on the boat or ship or whatever it is, and the people of Ephesus, they love Paul. So let's look at this scripture real quick. Acts 20:36-38. I'll read it. It says, when he had said this, talking about Paul, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Wow, these Ephesians, man, they really love Paul. And they were really brokenhearted about him having to leave and go. It was an incredible time of sorrow for him and them, too. But think about the context of this passage is that they fell on his neck and kissed him goodbye repeatedly, over and over. They were going to miss him. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to people, don't we? And I'm a coward when it comes to that. I can't stand it. Anybody know what I mean? I can't stand saying goodbye, man. It just, gets me. We've had to do it several times. Maybe it was a goodbye of a son or daughter who heads off to college. It's rough. Maybe they're heading off in the military and you gotta say goodbye. Maybe they accepted a call to be a missionary. Good friend. Then I gotta go goodbye to some foreign country and spread the gospel. It's hard to say goodbye. Sometimes we are saying goodbye in a hospital room. Sometimes we're saying goodbye standing at a casket with our loved ones. It's hard. That goodbye kiss is one we will remember for a long time, right? Number five. The foolish kiss of idolatry. Now, Hosea chapter 13, verse 2, let me read this to you. It says, "Now they sin more and more. They make idols for themselves. They're silver. They're skillfully fashioned images. All of them a work of craftsmen." It said these people, they offered sacrifices, human sacrifices, and they kiss the calf idol. In Hosea's time, people had become consumed with idols. They would place them all around the city, all around their homes. Sometimes they'd make tiny little idols and put them on a string or whatever, a rope, and they'd keep them around their neck, and they'd kiss these idols. They'd kiss them around they'd see one laying somewhere, and they'd run up and kiss it. And they got all weird about that. Hosea was just pointing out the foolishness of what they were doing. But you know, I guess today, we would never run around and bow our knee and kiss idols, would we? Right? Do you know where I'm going? Idolatry isn't dead, my friends. It just looks different. So we want to examine our hearts when it comes to that. Amen? I don't want to get up in your business on that one. Pray and ask God to show you what might be an idol in your life. Number six, the friendly kiss of hypocrisy. Now this might touch a nerve, so hang on. I was hoping that my friend would be here today. He told me he would. He lied to me, didn't he? Dusty, that's what I'm talking about. Because I wanted him to hear this one. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, 47 and 48. Alright. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" You see, listen closely to this right here. When Judas kissed Jesus that night in the garden, he not only was identifying him as the one to arrest, here we go, ready? But he was also acting as though he had affection for Jesus by doing this. This gets deep. This deliberate attempt at innocence was not missed by Jesus. Jesus called him out on it. He said, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" If it had been me, I'd be like, "Dude, really? All I've done for you, and you're going to stick me in the back and then kiss me? And show this fake love? This false love? And then I would have disintegrated him with my anti-gravity ray gun." That's not in my notes. Remember that guy, a little Martian guy? Remember? "I will disintegrate you with my anti-gravity ray gun." Frankie started talking about Bugs Bunny this morning. And whatever that crazy squirrel dish was. What was it called again? Hassenpfeffer. If you ever heard of Hassenpfeffer before, raise your hand. Now I feel bad, though. It's a squirrel dish. Oh, rabbit. Sorry, it was a rabbit dish. Oh, a good friend of mine, great preacher, and good friend of mine for 30-something years, he had this little saying. This is what he would say. He'd say, "Don't let a fool kiss you, and don't let a kiss fool you." Right? We should have more young people in here. You know what I'm saying? Don't let a fool kiss you. And don't let a kiss fool you. Amen? Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It hurts. It hurts real deep to be stuck in the back by a friend who you thought loved you. Doesn't it? Yeah. Satan will use every trick he can to deceive us. To even, with this crazy, how can I say it, this false love of an enemy. It can hurt us really bad. And that's the reason I want my friend Dusty, he's a counselor with me. He had a classic thing happen. I've had it happen probably hundreds of times, but he got emotional about a client. I'm going to save this guy. I'm going to help him. The client leaves, and he just cuts Dusty up on Facebook. He's a terrible counselor. He's no good. If you ever go to Penfield, don't, you know, that kind of thing. And, it hurt him because he put a lot into helping this guy. Just turn on you and just ravage wolves. So beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. Number seven, the last one. The forgiving kiss of compassion. You probably know where I'm going with this. Luke 15:20. Prodigal son, right? It says he got up and went to his father. He come to his senses and he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and what? And kissed him. Kissed him. Here we have the final example. What a beautiful picture of the love of God. Amen? It is. The prodigal son was probably expecting some kind of rebuke or some kind of punishment. Or at least, I told you so. But no, instead, he was welcomed with love and open arms and joy. Wow, what a beautiful picture. You know, God stands ready today, right now, to accept our repentance or accept our faith in Him. Sometimes we get to this feeling where we feel like God's done with us. He's going to forget us. We're not where we're supposed to be. We may feel like we're way off, real far off from God. He's right there. He's right there calling us. He's right there waiting to receive us, not condemn us. He's waiting to restore us and not shun us away. Kisses may mean a lot of different things, my friends. As we looked at a few examples today of some Bible kisses, we saw that a kiss can be infectious, just affectionate sign of love. God loves us. Or it could be a hypocritical sign of betrayal. But I'll end with this. An honorable kiss to God. And it's the way we honor Him, right? How do we honor God? So an honorable kiss to God can bring blessings, great benefits. It can bring peace and joy. God loves you. And when we get to heaven, and what a day that will be, when we get to heaven and what a day that will be. I just know deep in my heart that Jesus just can't wait to give you a big old hug and a kiss. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this message. Lord, yes, we can't wait for that glorious day we meet you face to face. Oh, what a happy day that's going to be. What a glorious day that is going to be. Thank you for loving us so much that you took the sins of the world, really, on yourself. You took those beatings and stripes for our healing. You died on that cross. You were raised on the third day. That blessed hope that we will meet you again one day. Father, if there's anyone here today that needs to get saved and born again and make sure, I'll be glad to talk to them during this little song, Father. Maybe they need prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.